Okay. The title of my remarks this morning is The Disciples' Parable of the Kingdom. My reading is Matthew 13, 44 through 52, part of the daily reading for this section. So Matthew 13, 44 through 52, where Christ says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good in the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then said he unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." So the disciples' parables of kingdom. Now in Matthew 13, the entire chapter, are recorded a number of Christ's parables, the numerous lessons. This chapter contains several of his major parables and a number of lesser ones, and seems to give us two specific times during that day when Christ taught at two different locations to two different audiences. And those are specified. Read first the first three verses of the chapter, Matthew 13, 1 through 3. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow." So that's the start of it, and of course, the start of the first parable. But then in verse 36, it says, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." The parables spoken from the ship publicly all seem to start with an introduction, such as in verse 3, that he spake unto them in parable. Verses 24 and 31 specifically says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying," and in verse 33, says, "Another parable spake he unto them." So this section of the public parables that day ends explicitly with verses 34 through 36. We'll go ahead and read that. Yeah, the verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And of course, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares. So the remaining verses of this chapter appear to have occurred later. Among faithful followers, and thus have more personal application to us. Now, Matthew did not record everything in his gospel chronologically, as proven by certain details of some incidents when compared with the other gospel accounts. So perhaps the things in this chapter are not all exactly in chronological order, which would explain the insertion of verses 10 through 23, where the disciples seemingly are privately given the explanation of the parable of the sower. These verses may belong time-wise in the middle of verse 36 that we read, right after they had gone back into the house in private. And just before the request at the end of that verse to declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field, as the introduction of the whole discourse in the house. And once in the privacy of the house, the disciples, the 12, and very possibly a number of others, those that were diligently seeking God, who hunger and thirst after righteousness, sought to understand the spiritual specifics and their significance, just as those in Berea would a few years later, as is recorded, for example, in Acts 17:11. And they are commended with the words, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Christ reproved the Jews for not seeking this understanding in John 5:39. And he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. But to those who will seek diligently, Christ encourages, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. The disciples asked, continually coming to Christ seeking an answer, and eventually opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And that's found in Luke 24, specifically quoting verse 45. The general public, Christ presented in parables the calling and development of the kingdom. Those who would follow this calling and emulate the development in their own character demonstrated the individual, private, dedication, and effort acceptable to God. the private parables spoken to the disciples are therefore straightforward and easy to understand. They all explicitly start with, "Kingdom of heaven is like unto." Their lessons are obvious, but were only meant for those who are already making the effort to draw nigh unto God. The first parable shows the immensely higher value of the kingdom. Let's read Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. Colossians 3, 24 says, "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And then again in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The kingdom will come regardless of anything. It is a fact. And its value is a fact. Yet how many, even holding God's word in their hand, can't even see it? And how many that day, Matthew 13, saw the prospective king, heard him fleshing out the framework of a kingdom based on the scriptural Old Testament basis and never realized its worth or ramifications. But those who did and were willing to sacrifice all for it received so much more. Read Matthew 19, verse 29, where Christ says, "Everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life." Now the second parable in our reading, that of the pearl of great price, teaches that not only must we be prepared to give up all for the kingdom, but also that we must search for it diligently, like the jeweler carefully scrutinizing a potential gem. Let's read 2 John chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Epistle of John. Second John 4, verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This verse really casts light on the phrase, pearls of wisdom. There are many, both true and false, pearls of wisdom out there. But we are especially seeking that one pearl of great price, kingdom. Even once we have supposedly found it, we must keep searching to remain faithful and develop the mind of God in ourselves. Now the next parable, that of the net cast into the sea, progresses to some further lessons. First, the kingdom of God attracts all kinds. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 through 23. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then again in Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 through 51. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household? Give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink and drunk. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some people might see value in the kingdom and put forth the effort to start toward it, but not remain faithful. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, verse 14. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence and fast unto the end. And then again, 1 Peter 3:17. Excuse me, 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And then in Matthew 22:14, Matthew 22:14, For many are called, but few are chosen. At the judgment, all will be exposed. The unfit will be resigned to destruction. The good and honest, carefully retained for God's glory. We also see here that the gospel net will not bring every person to the judgment, for as verse 47 specifically states, that it gathered of every kind, not every fish in the sea. And we are used to the word sea in scriptures representing the sea of nations. It was used several times in the major prophets, such as Isaiah 17. Verses 12 and 13. As woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations, and make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nation shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them. And they shall flee far off, shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And then Isaiah 57:20 says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. So, just like in a net, some of the population will be brought will be in the group brought out for possible harvest, but not all. So once again, this proves the theory of universal resurrection. Only those in the net are drawn out of the sea of nations for scrutiny and possible use. The last parable of this discourse focuses in on the qualifications of those who will be selected. And this is in verse 52, where Christ says, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. If we have found this great treasure in the first parable and acquired it and have inspected and verified its worth, labored to obtain it, and entered and stayed in the gospel net, as in all of these parables, we should demonstrate and share it with others, especially other believers. In his commentary on this verse, in the Story of the Bible, Volume 5, we find, quote, he taught that as they came to understand the truth, they must be prepared to reveal it unto others. They all knew of people who had treasure chests where they stored their precious possessions, which they would take pride in displaying to friends and visitors. They knew that people interested in such things were constantly adding to them if they could, so that they had things new and old. An understanding of God's word can be like that if we give it our first love. Then, for the admiration and edification of our friends, we can bring out of our treasure chest things new and old that we have obtained therefrom, and so excite their interest to do likewise. The true disciple, therefore, will be constantly adding to his store of truth and will be busy displaying its beauty to others. And so to conclude, I'd like to read some of Christ's words first in Matthew 6. Verses 19 and 20. Christ says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." And then finally, Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven."